Our topic this morning is why we sing and worship. You know, here at Elgin Evangelical Free Church, we have a core value called passionate worship. And this core value says we will passionately celebrate our awe-inspiring God, continually experiencing His presence in ways that transform our hearts and minds. I love that core value, and that's one that we are dedicated to increasingly living better and better. Now, last summer, Pastor Dan gave a wonderful lesson on why we should worship the Lord passionately. This morning, I'd like to stick with passionate worship, but ask a slightly different question. Why do we sing when we get together to worship? I mean, we can praise God and worship without singing, can't we? So why do we take time to sing? Well, there's lots of possible answers to that, so let me throw a few options up on the screen and see which answer you agree with the most, okay? First, we sing to use up 20 minutes so Dick can't preach longer than he already does, okay? How many of you say that's why we sing? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what my wife says, too. Second reason, we sing to warm up the audience before the main act, which is studying the Bible together. And I have to tell you, for a lot of my Christian life, that's the way I approached worship. It was just to prepare people's hearts, because the real thing is the sermon. The third option you can give is we sing to satisfy the needs of musical, artsy, emotional kinds of people, and we're not like that, but there are people like that, so you have to kind of help them out a little bit, right? And the fourth reason we sing is because we've always done it. It's just a tradition. Everybody does it. Well, if only those were your answers on why we sing, the real answer is D, none of the above, right? And this morning we're going to look in God's Word and see why He wants us to sing His praise when we come together. The first verse, if you're following along on your sheets this morning, is Psalm 47, verse 6. Sing praises to God, sing praise. Sing praises to our King, sing praise. Praise. Four times in one verse, we're told to sing to the Lord. In fact, singing is mentioned 400 times in the Bible, and God directly commands us to sing His praises about 50 times. This seems to be an important thing to God. In fact, the longest book in the Bible is which book? The Psalms. It's a song book. So why does God tell us so often not just to praise Him, not just to worship Him, but to praise and worship Him with song? Well, let's begin by looking at some psalms that tell us why our heart should want to sing His praises. Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is confident in You, God. No wonder I sing Your praises. Psalm 59, 16. I will sing about Your power. I will sing with joy about Your unfailing love. Psalm 63, 7. Because You are my helper, I will sing for joy in the shadow of Your wings. Because we've experienced His love, because we've experienced His power, because we've experienced His help, we have such a confidence, we can't help but sing His praise. Psalm 71, verse 23. I will shout for joy and sing Your praises. Why? Because You've ransomed, You've saved me. Psalm 92, 4. You thrill me, Lord, with all You have done for me. I sing for joy. Does your participation on Sunday morning show that you are thrilled with the Lord and you can't help but sing for His joy? And Psalm 146, 2. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. The idea here is that you and I have so much to thank the Lord for. Our whole life should be a song of praise to Him. From our very first breath to our very last breath, we can't help but sing His praises. So does that describe you? Does that describe our worship experience here at Elgin Evangelical Free Church? Now, even as I say, our whole life should be a song of praise, we can't help but wag our tails and want to sing His praises. Some of you are going, yes, that's me. I just love singing. I can't wait to sing to the Lord. And some of you are going, well, I'm thankful. I appreciate God. I'm just not into this singing thing, Dick. I don't get it. I can thank God without singing. So let's actually see what the Bible has to say. Why does God tell us we should sing when we get together? The first point is we sing to please God. We sing to please God. Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31. I will praise God's name with singing. I will honor him with thanksgiving, for this will please the Lord more than sacrificing cattle or presenting a bull. The Bible says singing God's praise pleases him more than a lot of the other sacrifices that we can make. And some of you are saying, but Dick, I'm not a singer. I mean, I'll give my money, I'll give my time, I'll help out around the building, I'll do other stuff, but I just don't like singing. And God says, but singing my praises pleases me more than almost any of the sacrifices that you can give to me. Why wouldn't you want to sing my praises? You want to please God? Then join God's people by singing his praises. Now, sometimes someone will say to me, but Dick, what God is concerned with, what's important to God, is my spirituality, not my singing. God cares how godly I am. He doesn't care whether I sing or not. Well, but what if God says your singing is a mark and a sign of your level of spirituality? Psalm verse 33, 1. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. Psalm chapter 30, verse 4. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. Godly people sing to the Lord. People who love God and are becoming more like God sing to God. And that means if you don't participate enthusiastically in what we just sang or what we're going to sing later in worship, and you think you're godly, you better recheck your definition of godly, because God himself says the godly sing his praises. We sing to please him, not because we like it or don't like it or to please ourselves. We sing to please him. And why do we sing to the Lord? We sing a love song to the Lord because he first sings a love song to us. One of my favorite verses in Scripture, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. For the Lord your God will take delight in you with gladness. With his love he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Did you know that God sings a love song to you? He does. And he will sing a love song to you. And what he wants us is to take that love song that we hear him sing to us and sing it back to him. And that's all we do in praise. We just take the love song that we hear and we sing it back. And if you're not enthusiastic about singing God's praises with God's people, maybe you need to spend more time listening to God's love song to your life. We sing to please God. Jesus sang praise to Father God. We're told he did that with the disciples at the Last Supper before his crucifixion. You want to be more like Jesus? Sing praises with God's people. You want to be more godly? Sing praises with God's people. You want to please God? Sing praises with God's people. The second reason that we sing is we sing to proclaim God, not just to please God, but to proclaim God. Because singing, worship together, is one of the ways that we proclaim God to a watching world. Now just listen to these verses. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Do you see how singing his praises and sharing his praises with other people goes together? It says sing and tell, tell and sing. Because praise and proclamation go together. If you and I are praising God, truly praising God, we can't help but sing those praises and share those praises with other people. Psalm chapter 9, verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord. tell the world about his unforgettable deeds. Psalm 57:9. I will thank you, Lord. I will sing your praises where? Among the nations. I will sing so that other people can hear and see my worship. Worship and witness go together. Because worship, true worship, will cause us to witness because we want other people to know and love God like we do. Worship, true worship, will lead to witness because we'll carry our worship out the doors of the church and into our life, into the marketplace, into our everyday lives. And as we worship the Lord out in our life, it's a part of our witness. And worship is itself a form of witness to people who visit us on Sunday morning because they're trying to find God or they're trying to reconnect with God. Because they come here and the question is this God thing real? Do these people really believe it? And how do they measure that? They measure it by watching and listening to the way that we worship. And they're saying, are their hearts in it? Do they worship like they really believe this? And like it's important and it's life-changing to them? And that's why people decide whether they're going to stay before I even get up to preach. Because they want a sense, is this real to these people? And if they look around and they see mouths barely moving during worship, hands in pockets, people unmoved and unengaged, no emotion and no passion, guess what? They're going to walk out the door and down the street and find a church where the worship is passionate, where authentic worship connects them with a transcendent God in a very real way. And they'll say, God is real because I see it in their worship and I experience it in their worship. And that's why worship is a form of proclamation and it's part of our witness. And when we do worship poorly, we're doing witness poorly. Sometimes people say, Dick, well, I didn't sing that song because I don't know that song. Well, what's the best way to learn a song? It's by singing it, right? I mean, several of your songs I didn't know when I got here, but I just join in the praise team and follow along the best I can and read the words. By the second or third verse, I got it. And then I start to like it, and then I start to love it, and it starts to move my heart. But it all began because I started to try and sing. So saying I don't sing a song because I don't know it, this is not a good reason. If you don't know it, that's a good reason to start trying to sing along. Other people will say, well, I didn't sing that particular song because I don't like that song. I don't like some of these newfangled songs, right? Maybe you've heard people say that. But that forgets that every old song that you, every old favorite you love, was once a new song that people didn't like. Because the whole concept of music is it's continually evolving and changing. I mean, I can go through a history of the musical patterns in our country, but you can too. Every generation has their own style of music that they prefer. All the way back to when a little boy named Isaac Watts was walking home from church and he told his dad, I don't like the music we sing. And his father said to Isaac, then write your own. And Isaac Watts went out and wrote some of our greatest hymns, and guess what happened? His church wouldn't sing them. And it was years before the church accepted it. Because each generation has their own style of worship. And when you and I reject the next generation's style of worship because we don't like it, we're pretty much rejecting the next generation and saying we don't care about your eternal destiny. Worship is part of, singing is part of our proclamation. And what do you think it tells people that are guests to our church on Sunday morning when we can't set aside our musical preference to 20 minutes to worship God together? If worship is witness, worshiping together tells people that what unites us is not what kind of music we like. What unites us is our love for God, right? I mean, we can listen to the kind of style of music. I can listen to the style of music I want all week long. But I have 20 minutes on Sunday morning to raise my voice into whatever style of music is going to help reach and touch our communities for Jesus Christ. and show that I love him more than I love my music. And therefore, I'm willing to sing his praises to please him and to proclaim him to a watching world. Make sense? Okay, the third reason we sing is to help each other grow more like God. We sing to please God, to proclaim God, and to help each other grow more like God. Have you ever stopped and thought about the fact that when you are standing and singing with everyone else on Sunday morning, you are actually ministering to each other? Well, God says you are. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the message of Christ, or the word of Christ, dwell richly among you as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And how are we teaching each other? Through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. God says we preach to each other when we are singing. See, right now I'm preaching to you. I'm teaching you, right? But when you sing during worship, you are teaching me and you are teaching each other because you are declaring God's word. Because you are declaring God's worth. Because you are declaring God's great acts for other people to see and to hear. When we sing, we teach each other to love God more and become more like God. There's three important ways our singing helps all of us grow spiritually, and we minister to each other. The first is singing helps me remember God's word. Singing helps me remember God's word. Colossians 3:16 says, we are to let the word of God, or the message of Christ, dwell richly in us. It's supposed to be alive in us. How do we keep the word of God alive in us? The verse says, we sing it. Now, I can guarantee that long after you've forgotten all of my message points this morning, you'll remember the words to the praise songs we sang, won't you? Because that's the way music affects us. It helps us remember stuff. In fact, you remember nursery rhymes that you learned as a child. You remember the words to the songs that you sang in school and in high school. And the music that was important to you when you were dating and when you got married, that is seared into your memory for all times, right? Let's see if I'm right on this. Just finish these after me. Hickory dickory dock. Okay. Don't sit under the apple tree with... Okay. It's a beautiful day in the... Yesterday, all my troubles were so far... You get my point here. Our mind stores literally thousands of songs ready to access on a second's notice, and that's the way God made us. God hardwired us so that we recognize and remember words attached to music better than we remember words that aren't attached to music. We remember words attached to music better than words that aren't attached to music. That's why every culture in the world uses music and rhymes to teach their children. That's why the medical field is increasingly using music as therapy to Alzheimer's and dementia and people with other cognitive disorders. And that's why God says he wants us to sing his praise out loud with other people, because it helps us remember his words. Now, I know that some of you are not thrilled with the new praise songs because you say it has too much repetition. We just keep saying the same thing again and again and again. But that's the point. That repetition burns it into our memory, so we carry it with us. Not only that, but the value of the repetition is it frees us up from focusing on the words, reading the words, struggling to follow the words, so we can focus on the God that we're singing to. And whereas hymns were written to teach doctrine about the Bible, which is good, Much of the new praise music is written to help us reach past the doctrine and connect with God in a spiritual and emotional way that the doctrine is talking about. And I can talk to you a long time about why that shift has happened and what the value of it is. But that's why so much of the new praise song is singing to God rather than singing about God. So, singing together helps us grow spiritually because singing helps me remember God's word. Second, singing helps me respond to God's grace. Respond to God's grace. The second half of Colossians 3:16 said we are to sing with gratitude in our hearts. In other words, we're supposed to be experiencing the grace of God so regularly and so richly that we are so filled with gratitude, we can't help singing our praises to God. Psalm 13, verse 6, I will sing to the Lord. Why? Because He's good to me. And when God is good to you, you can't help but sing His praises. When God delivered the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt at the Exodus, they sang His praises. When they dedicated the temple in Jerusalem, they sang His praises. When He brought the captives back from Babylon, they sang His praises. When they experienced revival, they sang. When God did good things for them, they sang. When they remembered the good things God did for them, they sang. And if we are experiencing the grace of God in a profound and rich way in our lives should be so filled with gratitude, we can't help but sing His praises. It's impossible to be a grateful Christian and a non-singing Christian. It's impossible to be a joyful Christian and a non-singing Christian, because singing His praise is the way we naturally express our gratitude and our joy. We sing because it helps us respond to God's grace in our lives. But there's a third reason that singing helps us help each other grow spiritually. Singing helps me experience God's community. Experience God's community. We sing together because it draws us together and it binds us together. People will sometimes say to me, but Dick, I'm thankful to the Lord, but I'm just not a singer. I'll sing on my own. I'm not going to sing with other people. You know, I'll just sing on my own. Well, you can sing on your own, and God probably wants you to sing on your own, but God wants you to sing with God's people. Psalm 149, verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praises where? In the assembly of the faithful. And Psalm 22:22 says, I will praise you among your assembled people. And the book of Matthew actually applies that to Jesus, that He would sing God the Father's praises among His people. God wants us to sing His praise out loud with God's people. And if you're wondering why, how about this? If I praise my wife to her face, it earns me points. And some days I need all the points I can get, you know what I mean? But when I praise my wife in front of other people, I get a whole lot more points. Because public praise carries more weight. It has more impact. And that's why God wants us to sing publicly the same way He wants us to be baptized publicly in front of other people, because that's part of the proclamation, because it has greater impact. God wired you and I in such a way that when we sing together, it moves us emotionally, doesn't it? I mean, I know it moves me when I join you in praise. Now, some of you may know, I just sit second row from the front, so I really can't see most of you. But you know what? I know when you are enthusiastically joining in worship in a song, and I know when a lot of you are sitting it out. You can just tell by the volume. You can tell by the energy. And when I hear you lift your voices and joining the praise team and praising the Lord, when I see some people raising their hands and closing their eyes because they're connecting with the Lord, when I hear people clapping with joy, it does something. It moves me because it reminds me I'm part of the family of God. We're in this together. We're the family of God. We are the body of Jesus Christ, and we are in this together now. We are in this in the future. We are a community, and singing helps give us a taste, gives me a taste of that community that we'll experience in heaven. Singing helps build community. One of the reasons singing helps build community is because that's the way that God built us. When we sing together, it releases a hormone called oxytocin. I know it sounds illegal, doesn't it? We're all going to get addicted to oxytocin while we're singing praise. Oxytocin is the hormone that a mother's body releases when she's nursing. It's the hormone that's released when two people hug and kiss and love each other. Because this hormone creates a chemical reaction in your body that creates a sense of warmth and intimacy and bonding. And God wired us in such a way that that hormone is released when we praise together, and that builds a sense of community. But beyond this chemical change that helps our sense and bonding, singing together creates something that scientists call phase synchronization. You're getting a lot of science here this morning, right? Because what scientists tell us is when we sing together, you start to breathe together with each other. When you sing together, you start to move together. In fact, when you sing together, literally, your hearts can start to beat together with each other. God has built us in this wonderfully, beautifully, and complex way, so that when we sing together, he can use the chemical changes in our body, and he can use the subconscious changes in our body that cause us to work together. When we clap together, when we sing together, our bodies start to work together and we experience community. God is preparing us for the community that we will experience in heaven. So we sing together to please God, to proclaim God. We sing together to help each other become more like God, because singing helps us remember God's word, it helps us respond to God's grace, and it helps us experience just a taste of God's community. Now you see why God says this singing stuff is important. That's the way I made you. Fourth reason we sing. We sing to fill our spirits. To fill our spirits, and I'm using the word there both in the sense of being filled with the Holy Spirit and having your spirit filled with the joy in the presence of the Lord. Very important verse, Ephesians chapter 5, 18 and 19. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. How? Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Now, that verse tells us three important things. First of all, it reminds us what we just learned in Colossians 3, that we're not just supposed to make music in our own hearts, we're supposed to sing among ourselves. Second, it tells us when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it will overflow our lives in songs and shouts of praise and worship. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and not want to sing and worship God enthusiastically. In fact, if you want to know if you're living a Spirit-filled life, one of the questions to ask yourself is, do I regularly, enthusiastically, passionately worship the Lord with the Lord's people? The third thing this verse tells us is not just if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it will express itself in singing worship to God, but actually singing worship to God helps us be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we're singing praises to the Lord, we're focused on the Lord, our heart is open to the Lord, we're surrendering to the Lord, and that's what allows the Spirit to fill us. And as the Holy Spirit fills us, it refreshes and rejuvenates or renews our spirit within us. And haven't you found that to be true in your life? Isn't there sometimes in worship when you get so caught up in the worship, you experience the presence of God in such a profound way, your spirit is full, you feel like you're going to burst, and you leave refreshed and renewed? I mean, I hope you experience that sometimes here. I do. That's our goal. Worshiping God together fills our spirits with the Holy Spirit and refreshes and renews our spirits. Now, there's a reason that singing together helps renew our spirit and fill us with God's Spirit, and that's because singing engages my mind with my emotions. Singing engages my mind with my emotions. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, Paul says, I will sing praise with my spirit, which includes emotions, but I will sing with my mind also. God wants us, our worship, to include both our mind and our emotions. But you know where my mind normally is? On me. Yeah, I spend a lot of time thinking about myself. I wish I didn't, but I do. Even when I come to church on Sunday, often my mind is focused on, some part of my mind is focused on me. I need something to refocus my mind on the Lord, and that's what worship does. It diverts our attention to the Lord. I can't worship the Lord wholeheartedly and still be thinking about myself. In fact, if during the worship time this morning you were thinking about the Bears game, you weren't really worshiping, were you? Because wholehearted worship, your mind is focused on God. And when our mind is focused on God, then our emotions can engage and draw us closer to Christ. And that's what Christ wants. He wants our whole mind and heart to be involved. Because when Jesus was asked what the most important commandment was, he said, it's to love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and that's your energy, right? And with all your heart, and that's your emotions. God loves it when our emotions are fully involved in worship. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Just listen to all the emotion in that verse. You're shouting with gladness. You're singing with joy. God says, I want your mind and I want your heart. I want your strength. I want the strength of your emotions. So much so that if you're singing to the Lord without emotion, just going through the motions, you're not singing to the Lord. You're just making noise. Music is the universal language of emotion. That's why music helps us recall and remember God's word. Because music takes God's word and it increases, it heightens the impact, the transforming impact that it can have on our life. Just think of how you feel when you hear a bagpiper play Amazing Grace. Doesn't it send chills up and down you? Just think of the peace you feel when you sing, It Is Well With My Soul. Just think of the joy when you sing, Celebrate Jesus. The music of singing together helps us love God more deeply, thank Him more profoundly, and honor Him more devoutly. That's why John Wesley, the famous religious leader that is now known as founding the Wesleyan Church, he put together a hymnal, and this is what he wrote in the front of the hymnal. Sing lustily with good courage. Beware of singing as if you're half dead or half asleep. Lift up your voice with strength. I love that. That's what God throughout the Bible is calling us to do. But yet sometimes somebody will say to me, Dick, worship is about truth, not emotion. Now, usually when somebody says worship is about truth, not emotion, that means that they've had some hurtful experience in their past, where emotions got out of control and caused them or other people to make mistakes, probably in church. And I understand that. But to say God wants truth, not emotion, is a false dichotomy, because God says throughout Scripture He wants both. Time and again, He calls us to shout for the Lord, to raise and to lift our voices. Psalm 47, verse 1. Come everyone, clap your hands. Did you know clapping was biblical? Clap your hands, shout to God with joyful praise. singing, shouting, clapping. God wants enthusiastic, passionate, fully involved worship. When people are afraid of emotion in worship, and some people are, and they probably have a good reason to be afraid of emotion because some of you in the past, but let me just tell you, emotion's not the problem. Emotionalism is. Because in worship, we take all of our emotion and we give it as an offering to God. Because that's what worship is. We're giving to God, right? Ourselves, our heart, our emotions, we're giving it to God. Emotionalism is when instead of me giving God something, I come to get something from God. I'm worshiping because I want God to make me feel a certain way. I want to get a shot of spiritual adrenaline to carry me through the next week. So worship is now about me instead of about God. That's emotionalism. Now, the wonderful truth is that when we worship God and bring our emotions to God, He can often use them to change the way we feel. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But that's not the goal. The goal is not how you feel. The goal is how God feels. The goal is pleasing God. So don't be afraid of emotion. Just understand the difference between emotion and emotionalism. God wants truth and emotion. And vibrant singing together helps us connect truth about God with passion for God. And don't you want to connect truth with God with passion for God? Don't you want to connect devotion with doctrine? Don't you want to connect mind and heart? Of course we do. So when we sing, God uses it to refill our spirits with the Holy Spirit or to fill our spirits with a sense of His presence and a sense of His joy. Now, sometimes people say, I'm just not very emotional. And usually it's men, okay? Right. Some of you men have said this. I know you have. I'm just not the emotional type. Well, it's true. We all experience and express emotion differently. But everybody's emotional about something. Everybody's passionate about something. And that man that says, well, I don't sing because I'm just not emotional. Yeah, you go catch him at a sporting event and he's shouting and he's cheering on the team, right? He's dressed up like an animal or something. Or get him talking about his favorite hobby, maybe fishing or golf, and he gets really passionate. Because the fact is we are all passionate and emotional about something, and what we're most passionate and emotional about is what we love the most. So wouldn't it make the most sense that we would be the most passionate, the most emotional about showing our love for the Lord more than showing our love for our hobby or our sports team? Others of you will say, rightly, well, Dick, I just don't always come to church feeling all happy and clappy. We don't, do we? I don't. I don't always come here feeling happy and clappy. Sometimes I'm distracted, sometimes I'm irritated, sometimes I'm sad. I mean, just fill in the emotion, right? We come here bringing lots of emotions with us. But the good news is that God can use worshiping together to change the way our emotions feel. There is a study of the way that music affects the mind and the body, and it's called psychoacoustics. Doesn't mean you're psycho. It's the name of the study. Psychoacoustics. And psychoacoustics tells us that music has an effect on the body much like medication does. It affects your moods. We just already talked that it can release oxytocin that can give you a feelings of warmth and intimacy. Okay? In addition, when you are singing an inspirational song, when you're touched, it can release endorphins. And the endorphins act like a drug to make you feel good, right? So God has wired us in such a way that He can use worship to change the way we feel. We don't worship for God to change the way we feel. We worship to please God. But if you're not feeling all happy and clappy, the point is, come anyway and bring your junk with you and offer your junk to God. Come anyway and sing anyway and engage anyway, and as you worship the Lord wholeheartedly, Just watch and see how he can use that to change your emotions and to heal you. Because that's the way he blesses us when we bless him. Okay, so we sing to fill our spirits with the Holy Spirit, and we sing together so God can refresh and renew our spirits. There's one more point, and then we're done. Number five, we sing to prepare for heaven. Have you ever thought of that? You know, what we do here on Sunday morning is a training ground for what we're going to do for eternity. Revelation chapter 5. Then I looked again and heard the voices of thousands of millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then I heard who? Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. And they sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living beings said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped the Lamb. In the new heavens and the new earth, we will forever sing uninterrupted, undisturbed, undistracted, unified, passionate praise to the Lord. In fact, it has been said, Jesus died to redeem a universal choir. That's true. That's just what we read, isn't it? Jesus died to redeem a universal choir because the time is coming when all of the universe will sing his praise. And that means every voice is important. Every voice is important now, and every voice is important then. This is the last point on your sheet if you're following along. God made all creation to sing his praise. Do you believe? People say, why did God make creation? Why did God make human beings? The answer is to sing his praise. In the book of Job, we read that at creation, the morning stars sang God's praise. In the book of Psalms, we're told that when Jesus Christ returns, the sea will shout, the rivers will clap, and the mountains and the hills will sing for him. And we just saw this choir in the book of heaven. We were created to sing his praise. You say, "But Dick, I sound so bad, nobody would ever want to hear me. I can't sing it." Well, guess what? It's not about you. You're not called to sing to the person next to you. You're called to sing to the Lord. It's an audience of one. Okay? And to help you out, we keep the volume of the praise team loud enough, though people around you can't really hear you anyway, so that's no excuse. And here's the bottom line truth. When you sing to the Lord, it's like a child singing to the Father. And no matter how off tune you are or off time you are, it doesn't matter because the Father is not concerned with the singing. They love the song. So let's unite now and lift our hearts in song and praise the name of the Lord. This week, let your life be a love song to God, both by your actions and by your voice.